out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 252. This is 252. It's a very large number, and we are very happy to be able to bring you this episode here on July 20th, 2008. It's been a great weekend so far, a great week overall. Kind of crazy around here, in case you did not know it. We've actually been running into a lot of problems with our hosting provider recently, so there's a whole bunch of things that kind of went crazy with the last episode. Hopefully we're going to not have that happen again this episode. So please, as always, if you see something wrong with the episode and you're not subscribed to the show notes or anything else, or even if you do, and please feel free to reply to that. And just send me an email at caffeination@gmail.com, and I will do my best to correct it as quickly as possible. Apparently, the upgrade that I tried to do to WordPress the last time screwed up the last episode rather... grandly is the only way I can say it. It was an epic fail of an upgrade attempt. And then when I moved beyond that, I found out that there was another change which had recently gone through on what I can only assume at this point is on the hosting provider, GoDaddy's side. And I love GoDaddy for registering domains, but so far I'm not really thrilled with them as an actual hosting provider for the show itself. So I think we're going to be migrating off that. Easiest way to describe it is if you go to caffeination.com/feed/, you get the RSS feed for the episode. However, if you go to caffeination.com/feed and don't put the slash on the end of the URL, you get nothing. There should be an error page that comes up at the very least, but most of what had happened up until about 2 weeks ago was that it would just redirect you to the correct URL. That happens with anything. If you forget to put the last slash on anything on my websites, any of my websites right now, all fails out. So I think roughly around 40% of the subscribers to the show do not have an accurate URL in their subscription thing. So please, if you're looking around and you're wondering why you didn't get your latest edition of Caffeination, or you're wondering why some of the links weren't working, just check to see if there's a slash at the end of the URL. Sometimes it's just easier to go back to over to caffeination.com, www.caffeination.com, and just resubscribe to the iTunes, the Zune, the RSS, or whatever other link that you so choose to do so. So again, I apologize to everybody. I hope this isn't actually going to continue on past this. But you know what? We're just going to keep rolling with the punches. Everything's going to go lovely and smoothly. That's what I've decided here. No, it's positive waves, positive thoughts. That's all I can think about. So I hope everybody out there is having a fantastic weekend. I know, at least myself, I'm having a really good time. We've had a great little weekend unplugged for the most part around here. We had a block party yesterday, which was really fun. We had a lot of great friends and family coming over, and they just had events all day long, and my son enjoyed it, my wife enjoyed it. It was just great. Top to bottom, it was a wonderful experience. So kind of over full on food and beverages at this point, so just trying to start the detox for the upcoming week. And then we have a vacation planned in the not too near future, so we're going to try and pre-record all the episodes and stuff for that, so we're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. Also wanted to thank a couple of the different listeners who sent in links. After they found out that I was having a block party yesterday, they said, you know, I get by with basically a little help from my friends around here, and there's a lot of people who send in content for today's show, so thank you ever so much. And like always, this Caffeination podcast and all other podcasts out there, they are entirely supported by the listeners that are out there, so thank you so much. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, hi and welcome to our family. Hi and welcome to the community that we have going here. You can head on over to caffeination.com and subscribe to it in any number of ways. You can also send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com, and I will include you in on the show notes. And before we get too much further in here, we did want to talk to you about the people who make this podcast possible. The easiest way to start a meeting online is GoToMeeting. It's just got a lot easier. If you haven't tried GoToMeeting, now is the time, because the new version of GoToMeeting has a fully integrated voiceover by IP solution. With this new Total Audio feature, you have more audio options, being able to conference through a phone or the web. Save time, save money, and be more efficient. Hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts to start your free trial today. I heartily suggest, if you do any kind of business online, that this is a fantastic application to give a shot out. So, you know, 30 days is more than enough time to evaluate any one of those. So, heartily suggest you do that. On today's show, you're going to hear about any of all of the following things. We're going to leave all the hosting problems and everything else like that for another time. I might write an article up on it, or I might not, and just move and carry on with my life. But it says, on today's show, you're going to hear a little bit about coffee cans, wine, Nerf, Legos, art, knives, and watches. Kind of a strange little conglomeration of different things to talk about, but we're going to dive right on in here with the first article up for TechCruft. Apparently there's a gentleman out there who has decided that he's going to try to increase the little bit of fun in the world. So there's a vending machine that you may see popping up around New York. It's called 50 cents per ID. It's called the Funometer. And I love this idea. This just seems to be a really great idea. You basically put 50 cents in and you get one of those ever-present little plastic bubbles that comes out. Inside, you might find any one of a number of different things, like an idea or a fun place to go within the near vicinity. So these are like locally tuned. So they're actually called an egg. No, I'm sorry, not a bubble. So you might get a fun local place to visit, just a fun little phrase or something like that. And the funny thing is, you also get a quarter of your investment back, because the guy who created it, Jake Bronstein, actually said, I didn't want to charge 50 cents, I wanted to charge 25, but the machine was already set up for 50, and I got tired of all those machines ripping people off all the time, so I actually put a quarter in each one of the eggs. So he's actually had to remove the vending machines, because they're a lot less profitable to the people who host them. You know what, you could put one of these outside my office any day. They just seem to be a great idea. There's just kind of cool. I mean, they have location-specific vending machine-style toys. So, like, you can have it in a place like the zoo or something like that, and they can attune different things to it within that. So I just think it's kind of fun and wanted to kind of put it out there right off the bat. You know, I really could kind of use one of these in my life. I mean, even if, like, I don't know if, yeah, head on over, maybe he could set up something like funometer.com, where if you go over there, you just hit a button or something, it pops up with a strange, random, awesome thing you could do. So I think that would be kind of liven up your day out there. Hopefully you don't need a Funometer, although this episode probably will reach you on Monday morning. And unless you too have a case of the Mondays, you probably need a little pick-me-up. That's what we think the Caffeination is here to provide. But just in case, we have another fun example of TechCruft right up here. 20 examples of hilariously quote-unquote geeky art and graffiti from Mr. Spock to Stephen Colbert, as the title is written up from WebUrbanist.com. They have 20 different links that are up there on different strange and interesting takes in an artsy kind of way on geek culture. And the first thing that they have up there, you can see a different conglomeration of paintings like the Firefox logo, Mario and Luigi and mugshots. The one that I absolutely love is right off the bat, they have a Rubik's Cube sculpture of Stephen Colbert. So the gentleman pulled the stickers off. I mean, I think it would be even a little bit better if he actually had to manipulate the Rubik's Cubes to show the correct pixels, so to speak, but he actually has a sculpture, sculpture slash picture. So it's kind of like the art from Paul Close, the gentleman who's actually a quadriplegic who paints in like 4x4 segments. The further in, or the closer you get, the less it looks like anything, but the further out you go, it actually starts to look like really detailed artwork. It's kind of cool. So the further you step back from Mr. Stephen Colbert, you actually find it looking more and more like him. I think that's really cool. It's actually made up of 768 different Rubik's Cubes, and the artist is David Litwin. So he already made a company logo out of it, and he just kind of moved on and started doing other things, and the first thing he did was Stephen Colbert. They also have a couple different examples of geeky tattoos that are up there. Apparently there's a mistress of nerdcore, the queen of nerdcore rap. Her name is MC Router. Apparently she's a 22-year-old from Texas, and she has a level up bar tattooed on her chest. I don't understand that one particularly. I mean, I think it's kind of cool, and I'm all for geeky tattoos, but it just doesn't seem, I don't know. I think geeky tattoos are kind of a hit or miss. Like, I like the idea of having the body tags from HTML on the person's back. I actually know somebody who has a opening head tag and a closing head tag on his left and right arm, and I think that's pretty cool. But you also kind of have to be, you know, a certain kind of geek and to have that. And I'm not saying a certain kind of geek to have the geek tattoos, but they kind of have to speak to what kind of geek you are. If your name's MC Router, wouldn't you have some kind of like router code associated with it. Maybe like an error log or something like that. I think that would be more along the lines. That's more something directly derivative of a video game. Then they have a derivation of the Mona Lisa, where it's actually Princess Leia with the blaster. I actually really like this. It's very well done. In the most part, they pretty much picked apart the key elements of the Mona Lisa and actually incorporated Princess Leia into it. And it's very well and very tastefully done. They have the skeletons of Donald Duck, which is kind of creepy. They also have a whole bunch of other ones if you follow that link. There's a gentleman who makes wooden sculptures out of popsicle sticks, and he made like a mech warrior suit, basically. And then, of course, I think this is ZFC set theory, which I have no clue what exactly that is. It's all some kind of strange mathematic derivatives. Now, this is a very cool geek tattoo. He has some strange cryptic math-only geek stuff on the inside of his forearm. There's a Google placeholder. There's all other kinds of fun stuff that's in there, so you can head on over there and check that out. Web Urbanist has a lot of really, really awesome like top 10, top 20 lists of different things that are just kind of off the beaten track, so to speak. Up next, we have an article from needcoffee.com. Not I Need Coffee, the frequent contributor toward the second half of the show, but rather needcoffee.com. They have much more of an internet minutia and strange stuff kind of floating around, and they have an incredible article about a thing called the Wasp Knife. Now, apparently the UK officials are currently kind of putting out a warning on this thing because it is incredibly deadly. It's not just a knife, and it's not just, you know, saying you bring a gun to a knife fight would be a bad thing, but if you were to bring this knife to a gunfight, you would probably end up coming out on top. This knife is designed specifically to take down large predators. I mean, this isn't like the T-Rex rifle that we talked about a little while ago on the Caffeination here, where it was designed to bring down rogue elephants. I think that's pretty cool. Anytime you're designing something to bring down a rogue elephant, you know it has to be pretty hardcore. But this knife actually has a hollow chamber somewhere in the blade, I think along the back end. And what it does is it injects a super cooled gas ball into the target. So it freezes and ruptures the internal organs. This is if you're outside and, you know, you're wandering around and you turn the corner and a rhino tries to gore you. This is the kind of thing you would pull out in that case. It's really hardcore, and they actually show you kind of a demo, like a live fire demonstration on a watermelon. And it actually literally like ruptures the watermelon almost as soon as you actually stab it in there. This is on a complete another level of craziness. There's no way to describe that. I don't know, you know, kind of in the vein of George Carlin, where he's saying, you know, what was going through the mind of the gentleman who designed the flamethrower? He's like, you know what? I have flame, but I would like to throw flame on those people who are over there. What's going through the mind of the guy or the girl who designed the Wasp knife? You know, it would be fantastic if I stabbed something and it exploded. That would be great. I'm going to go find a way to make that happen. So this works basically on the same principle of if you have air trapped in your veins and you ascend or descend during scuba diving, this is what actually happens. It's what the bends actually is. So this is a hyper-cooled, this is like to another level, actually. This is a hyper-cooled freezing ball of compressed gas. I don't even know what kind. Apparently, they're just like tiny little CO2 cylinder-style things. But as soon as you jab it in there, it explodes. It's just insane. So just wanted to kind of put it out there. So in case you're one of those people who goes out there and, you know, like to try and throw down with some gangbangers or whatever you happen to try and do, you crazy kids, you might want to watch out if somebody pulls out an incredibly large Bowie knife that has a hissing sound coming out of it, because it could probably be bad for you. But alright, we're going to move on to a kind of a little bit more subdued and inane story here. But we have a fun little article. I'm a big fan of Nintendo mod concepts. You know, the original NES games, like there's a whole bunch of different modifications that people have done recently. Like they actually took a cartridge from the NES and had all of the games that came out for it actually playable on the cartridge. There was a tiny little screen in there and everything. Now, what this is, this person actually seemed to take it to the next level. What this is a genuine Nintendo/Famicom controller. However, at the end, it actually has a USB cord. All of the mods are on a mod chip inside all of the games, rather, the ROMs, so to speak, are actually on a mod chip inside the controller. So when you plug it into your computer, you can actually play the video games on your screen. And it's just, this is a perfect decision. I know this will never be licensed by Nintendo because it enters into the realm where, we can't sell our own content. Yes, we know you've bought Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 15 times at this point, but come on, you need to pay for it again. So this is just really, really, really cool. I wish there was a way he could sell this, because there's no way that my lackluster skills in soldering and whatever else you need to do with this would be able to create something as awesome as this is. So just wanted to kind of pass it along. And in the realm of kind of, you know how we were talking about bringing a knife to a gunfight, and how about you bring a watch to a knife fight? Well, you could do that with this. This is an English patent Curiosa, a railroad pocket watch gun. So imagine being a conductor on a train way back in the 1800s or so, and somebody tries to accost you and he pulls out a knife. What you can do then is attempt to check your watch ever so slightly and pop off a cap in his end. This is kind of cool. It's an antique roadshow kind of thing going on here. It's a 3mm slug. I'm pretty sure it's a one-shot deal, and then you have to probably take it apart to reload it. I'm also probably sure that this is not safe to carry on an airplane. Just wanted to put it out there. But I just think this is kind of cool. I like the one-shot deals, not the one-shot gun deals. I like the one-off strange concept pieces that you sometimes see on Antique Roadshow and some of the other shows that are out there. Because I think they kind of really speak to some of the ingenuity that you don't necessarily see today. I mean, it shows you that the modding community really didn't just grow out of anywhere. You know, it has a definite history dating as far back as people could tinker with anything. So it's really kind of cool to see some of the other designs that are out there. Next little article we have up here in TechCruft is actually Linux Needs More Haters. This is, of course, over from Slashdot.com. But what they're basically saying is that Linux is a fantastic operating system, and most people would actually agree, and that's the problem. What it seems is there's too many people heaping praise on the operating system and the different derivations thereof, but there's not enough people actually providing good and critical comments. And it's one of the things that I've kind of realized about podcasting and a couple other things. I mean, it's when everybody tells you that you're doing a good job, you're not really kind of spurred to change anything. Every once in a while when I get the people who email me in, they say, I hate when you do this, I can't stand when you do that, for the love of God, would you stop putting rapper crazy music in the middle of the podcast? I'm just not a fan of it. It's when you get those in, it kind of makes you take a step back and say, okay, wow, this is actual, honest to God, critical content, and the person had to take a certain risk of having a bad reaction to actually give out there. So, I mean, please feel free, caffeination@gmail.com. If there's something I'm doing that's irritating you, please let me know. That's the only way the shows gets better, you know what I mean? It's just kind of brought into the realization, there's very little criticism of Linux in open space online because there's so many people that are so rabidly fans of the operating system and the concept in general. And the weirdest thing is that a lot of the people who are quote-unquote fans of Ubuntu and a couple of the other different Linux operating system /flavors, not very many of them have used them. I mean, there's a very vocal and very hardcore contingent, but I would be able to point you out at least to 6 or 7 people I know who would say that they're a fan of Linux, but they've never really used it. So it's kind of interesting. It's a strange little subculture that exists around there, but I just kind of thought it was cool. All right, moving right along, we have a Lego space elevator. Apparently, I didn't know this, but the holy grail of space travel would actually be a space elevator. It would be a contraption that is capable of ascending into the heavens via a vertical track, kind of like a modern Tower of Babel, I can only guess. Now, it has been proposed and postulated that this is actually impossible to do, and, when you look at the kind of different engineering feats that it would require, actually having some sort of contraption suspended into outer space, either by orbit or whatever, you could kind of start to see where, yes, this might actually be impossible. But there's now a working version of it, an incredibly tiny scaled working version of it, made entirely of Legos, and that's just awesome. Anytime you take something which is supposed to not be possible, it's a feat of engineering impossibility, and then somebody goes around and creates it with Legos, it just makes you respect the medium that much more. So much cool stuff has been done throughout Legos history just with Legos themselves, and I kind of think that the whole modding community really kind of took to the idea behind it and kind of went off with it. And it's funny because the people who create Legos didn't really rail against it. You know, they could have gone the way that a lot of the different software companies and other companies are going right now, where whenever somebody does something unexpected with your product, you either legislate, you sue, or you do whatever else you want, and it kind of like stifles the innovation. Lego has kind of taken that off to the side and say, okay, so this is what they're trying to do with it. Is there any way we can make a better kit that does the same thing and then just charge for it? So it's kind of what people should be taking. You know, so next time somebody, you know, hacks around with Photoshop or something and makes it do something that Photoshop's not originally intended to do, maybe Adobe should just kind of take a look at it, maybe hire the guy, first of all, and incorporate that functionality somehow seamlessly into the program itself. So kind of hopefully the Lego business model would actually kind of extend beyond Legos themselves. All right, up next, just a crazy little Wii safety manual that's entirely in Japanese, but the pictures are worth more than 1,000 words here. This is apparently, there's a lot of different strange things that people are due to their Nintendo Wiis when they're in Japan. First of all, somebody apparently punches somebody in the face. You could probably guess what they're trying to say here. So the first one, they actually indicate the person hitting somebody else in the face, and there's a big X on the one side. Apparently, you're not supposed to pour orange soda on your Wii. That's good. You're also not supposed to have the cord in between the Wii nunchuck behind your neck, which I would probably assume to be a bad idea just in general. They also have one which I can only assume is some kind of pacemaker warning, but they show you the gentleman holding the Wii. There's a little wire and a heart symbol and a lightning symbol, and just some of the commentary that they actually have. Like, they actually have a cigarette and an ashtray next to it, and it looks like the Wii is coughing. There's another one that looks like the Wii has a cold, and there's a blanket over it. Somebody's sticking a four-leaf clover into the back of the Wii. Apparently, a child's trying to commit suicide by putting a plastic bag over his head. You're not allowed to tape your discs after they've been broken and try and put them back into the system. So there's a whole bunch of different fun things. You can head on over there and actually check it out. And some of the warning labels are more awesome than what they actually really intend them to be, especially when we don't come from that culture. At least I don't specifically. I know that we do have some people who download in Japan, and I would love to hear your take on some of the American warning labels that are put out there. But I know that when it doesn't come from your cultural subset, it's really kind of cool to take a look at some of the stuff, and you just take a step back and go, wow, that's what they really need to warn people about. So, all right, moving right along. Yet another one of the links sent in by a fine listener, Michael Long. Thank you so much for all the links that you've provided here today. I used a couple of them. Some of them I'm probably going to save for later. But up here we have Bring a Watch to a Nerd Fight, which is the only thing I could come up with this one. A 1984 wrist computer. This is a link back to a Seiko UC2100. It actually had a watch component on the far left-hand side and then an extended QWERTY key. Keyboard. It's actually a full QWERTY keyboard on there. It looks like a cross between my phone and a really old video game watch. The screen actually had an awesome native resolution of 50 by 28 pixels. So you can head on over there and check that out. It looked too cool to pass up. Then the second to last thing that we actually have here in the TechCraft section is actually a world-class Nerf war from over at lifeaftercoffee.com. I've shared this one on Tumblr a little while ago, but you have to watch this video. Just put 5 minutes aside and watch this. It shows you the two twin forces in one company, one wearing red, one wearing blue, accents to their clothing. Blue is IT, red is sales, and it shows you a Nerf fight that breaks out at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and it's awesome. They have Nerf bombs, they have, you know, people going over desks, dragging bodies back in, there's bulletproof shields, somebody else does somebody execution style. I mean, there's just so many tiny little things in this that would make you love to work in this office. And then as soon as 5 o'clock hits, they all kind of just stop and get back up and walk out. It's just awesome. So I just wanted to pass it along. The other thing I wanted to kind of pass it along, I don't know yet how good this is, but apparently there's a new service out there called Soundgull. It's developed by a place called Southern Codes. And the idea behind this is they've developed a database of free sound clips that you can use. So it's not like a search engine. It's not like Google, although the stylistic design is actually patterned off of some of the Google's look. But it's a simplest way to search and find sounds. So I'm going to give it a shot a little bit this week when I'm trying to do some more of the audio work for this show and other stuff that I'm working on. But, you know, so I just want to kind of pass it along because I think it's a really neat service, and I don't yet know how well it works, but I just wanted to kind of share the love, so to speak. All right, moving on to the caffeine and food section. We have a couple little articles, then we will head you out on your way. Maybe a little bit under time today. It's been kind of a strange weekend, so I don't know. I wasn't able to really pace the episode the way I wanted to, so hopefully you'll forgive me this time. All right, first up here, we actually have a food article, but not my kind of food. It's not human food. Rather, it's fish food. This is the kind of thing that I would love to actually work on. This is a simple fish feeder. It's a mechanical light timer with a single dispensing bottle. So basically, there's a wheel that sits at the bottom of the bottle of food, and as the light sensor activates, it actually rotates the wheel, and as it deactivates, it turns the wheel off. So you'd be able to have a couple days food supply in there and build your own little automatic fish feeder. But it also automatically turns the light on in the tank. So I just thought that's pretty cool. I don't know if it will work with some of the fluorescent lights that I've seen out there, because you kind of have to prime them by holding them in just a little bit, but I like this kind of automation. I need to find something that waters my garden for me, and not just like a sprinkler hack. I need to actually make like an irrigation system for my backyard, like, you know, maybe bury a hose half inch down or something like that and poke some holes in it around where the plants are or something. I don't even know. But I need to, over the next year, actually work on some kind of irrigation system, because it takes a lot of time to do what I need to do around here. All right, moving right along. This is probably one of the strangest ideas I have ever seen. Jumpstart your day with a USB coffee warmer. Now, if you take the idea of the engine block heater, you know, that thing that you could plug into your lighter, or you plug into the house and actually wrap it around the engine block, or actually touch it to the engine block, and it ends up heating it up to help you start your car in bitterly cold days. You take that and you kind of marry that with a tiny little USB device. What this is, apparently, is a cross between a soldering iron and a USB cord. You plug it into your computer, then you drop the end into your cup of coffee, and you let it heat up. It's called the Heat Me Coffee Heater. It's kind of in a concept stage at this point, and they kind of indicate over at Ogizmo that this may actually end up being slightly dangerous, because you basically have a branding tool in your office now. The one thing I can tell you, just from looking at the picture that they have over at Ogizmo, is I love the coffee mug they're using. It's probably one of the strangest and most unique coffee mugs I've ever seen. It's a very tall, thin mug, and the handle actually just goes out the side of the mug and then straight down to the ground. There's no return back to the mug. So it's a very neat and very aesthetically pleasing mug that they're using. Although the product itself may be a little suspect. I want them to tell me where I can find the mug. It's no word yet on price or anything. I don't really know how well this will work. I have a USB hub that actually is supposed to function as a coffee heater, and you're supposed to put your mug on it, and it's supposed to somehow transfer the heat. I like the idea that you're actually transferring the heat direct to the coffee, because the USB mug heater never actually ended up working correctly. It would get hot, the bottom of the mug would get hot, but it would never transfer the heat to the actual beverage. I guess that's kind of because the way that coffee mugs are designed isn't that you're supposed to heat the mug up to heat the beverage. It's supposed to keep the beverage hot and keep the outside cool, you know, so you'd be able to actually handle said beverage. So I'm pretty sure they're not designed to actually, you know, they're not formulated for that. I've burned myself on that thing a couple times, but it's never actually successfully heated a cup of coffee up from being cold. Up next here, we have a little article called Domino's Hovercraft, 30 Minutes or It's Awesome. That's my title there. But Domino's Pizza has apparently been working with the company Airboard Europe to develop a hoverboard model that is not only road safe, but can actually increased their delivery time, especially in hazardous conditions. This thing is capable of hovering 1 centimeter off the ground and can glide over all hard surfaces. So it would be able to navigate over ice just as simply as it would over actual like Pavement, so which I think is really cool, and it keeps bringing back the Back to the Future kind of thing. I like this idea. It's kind of like a segue for hoverboards, but the only thing I keep thinking about is Back to the Future, where he ends up going over water. It says, McFly, those boards don't work on water. You need power. So if they had a little afterburner attachment, maybe heat the pizza up while you're going, I think that'd be kind of cool too. I like this idea. I don't know if it's actually going to gain any traction, if you pardon the pun, but I don't pardon the pun. I think it's actually kind of a strange, well-thought-out pun, but, you know, not really, but still. All right, I think it has an interesting concept, but I don't think it's actually going to gain traction because, yes, it might be road-safe, and it looks like a giant bumper car that you kind of stand on Ben-Hur style, but it just looks a little bit too big. It doesn't look like you'd be able to navigate cleanly, if you know what I mean. All right, next little thing we have up here is Pop Top Wine. Now, I know I saw this a little while ago. I don't know if I actually put it up on the show because it's kind of weird. There's a new market in smaller bottled versions of wine, and actually some of the bottles of wine that are out there are actually moving away from the actual cork and the rubber corks to actually screw tops with a seal on them. And it's not just for cheap wines anymore. I've seen some of the more expensive bottles actually migrating over to the screw top just because there's a shortage of cork wood. You never thought that kind of thing would happen, you know? But so I don't know if that's the same vein that these are, and they're more of like a single serving of these. I like the design of the can. I think that's the only thing I can say at this point in time, because I don't know one way or another whether I think that wine should be served from a can like this, because it doesn't really lend itself to drinking it like a beer. You know, it's like if you pop a top on a beer, you know, you're going to be sitting there, you're drinking it, but there's a certain aesthetic to drinking wine that I don't think is well served by, even if the can looks spiffy. I think you'd be probably better bottling some like microbrew beers in these, and you'd have a little bit better traction than wine. I think wine, the entire culture surrounding it is probably going to reject this idea, but I don't really know. All right, moving right along here, the last little article that we have for you here at the Caffeination Podcast today talks about the bucket lift makes coffee a viable final resting place. Apparently, I have yet to see the bucket list. It's on the Netflix list that we have going there, but Hollywood sets a trend for coffee tins as coffins. For some reason, people are writing in to Chock Full of Nuts, which is actually my major coffee beverage of choice, and I have to explain this every time I talk to somebody who's a coffee aficionado. I like coffee in general. I need to stay highly caffeinated in my lifestyle. I do not have the fundage readily available to drink nothing but the finest beans all the time. So I kind of cut it half and half, and when I have the time to enjoy my cup of coffee, what I do is then that's when I use like the special roasts and the stuff like that, and I grind the my own beans and everything. But when I just need a quick cup of coffee in the morning, I'll either, you know, God forbid I actually use instant, but like I'll either use like a regular brand of coffee, or that's what I take into the office at the same point of time. A lot of people actually kind of scoffed at the fact that I've chosen coffee Chock Full of Nuts, and it happened about like 2 or 3 years ago. I saw it in the store and I had never tried it before, and I was like, you know what, it's on sale, let me give it a shot. It beat the taste of every one of the other majors that was out there. I mean, it beat Folgers Mackerel House, Taster's Choice, any of the other ones that I had ever tried, including like the Starbucks ones that were just coming out at that point in time. Anything other than fresh beans, this thing tastes better than. And even some of the fresh beans that I've gotten from supermarkets and stuff like that, this stuff still tastes better than it. Not necessarily the city roast or the French roast or anything, but the organic roast and the which it doesn't even make sense. It's an organic coffee for some reason. The original tastes really good. They call themselves the Heavenly Coffee. It apparently, as a feature in the movie, the two gentlemen are actually buried in tins of Chock Full of Nuts atop Mount Everest. So it's kind of cool, and a lot of people are actually writing into them and saying, you know, I'd like to be buried in a tin of your coffee. I'm pretty sure you'd want to take the coffee out first, but I was looking at my garage during the during the block party. He said, all right, so I have enough to pretty much bury everybody I know, because I keep the coffee tins after I'm done using them. I mean, I have like the 2-pound tin that I use for the boys' sidewalk chalk because it fits it all perfectly. I have all the different bits and pieces that anybody accumulates in their garage, all the tiny little screws that you need to save for something or other. They're all in one of the tins. I have different, you know, just, I need to start labeling them. That's what I know I need to do. But I have about 16 tins of coffee that I've accumulated over the past 2 years that house different pieces, nods, and ends in there. And I've used them as kind of craft tools at one point or another. It was funny, when we had one block party last year, it was a pirate theme. I actually sacrificed 5 tins of coffee and made a cannon for the front of the house. So this year I was going to do a palm tree, since it was a Margaritaville theme, but I never actually got around to having the free time to do it. So just wanted to kind of put that out there. They're very good for crafts, and they're also very good for small buckets of paint, but they're very utilitarian. I don't even know why I ended up using them for everything, but so I have the more than enough to bury myself and the rest of the family in the garage right now. So I just thought it was kind of cool. It's an interesting little way for coffee to be used, and you know what, I kind of think I support the idea, because I don't need a fancy expensive urn. I've been living my life kind of in a coffee mindset, so why not end up burying me in that? Either that or grind me and put me in the garden. I'd be fine, you know? All right, that about wraps it up here for today's show. I'd like to thank everybody for stopping in, enjoying this, and spending just a little bit of their free time with us today. This has been the Caffeination Podcast, number 252, the Fix-It Edition, because I hope all the tiny little modifications I've actually done have helped to fix and smooth out the process of delivering the episode. Thank you ever so much for attending this wonderful podcast. Thank you for spending your time with me. This podcast would not be possible without the fine folks over at techpodcasts.com. All the member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. We are also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network, and we are, last but not least, we are a proud Puzzle Piece production. So I'd like to thank everybody for stopping in and spending time with us. Stay caffeinated, people.